told her so, but she said we were too young to know about such things. But she was wrong. And I've loved her ever since. But something happens along the way that love just develops and grows and matures, and it's better than it was in the beginning. And then something happened. She became the mother of my children. When I thank God for her every day in my daily prayer, I thank God for a good wife and a godly wife, but I also thank God for the mother of my children, because she gave me the most precious gift of this side of the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of God that anything could ever be in my life. And I praise God for her that she became mother to our children. I'm also thankful that she is the mother of the culture. You have no idea how intricately woven she is into the culture of this church family. But she's in every piece, in every part. Chrissy did a wonderful job with your presentation this morning, by the way. Chrissy said she's in the mortar, and she is. She's in everything. I love the culture of my home that she's built, and I love the culture of this house that she's been a major builder of. But I thank God for this privilege of walking with these mothers and a time to set aside to say thank you. And I appreciate every one of you this morning and appreciate what God is doing. And I love the presence of God I feel in this house right now. His anointing is on everything we just did. And he's present in this house to fill every need. He's already prepared everything you have need of from the foundation of the earth. And we have Brother Phillips here this morning. He's going to come preach the word of God. If you're a guest here, we're so glad that you came to be a part of what God is doing in this house today. Let's lift up our voice, clap our hands, and give God a little more praise as he comes.
And while you continue to clap your hands, lift your voice to Jesus and love him. Come on, love him with your voice. Love him with your voice. I love you, Jesus. Oh, would you tell him how much he means to you right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I want to ditto. I'll tell you what, after Sister Sutton got done, we could have just gave an altar call. But I will ditto what Bishop just said, having the distinct honor being invited to Thursday night family night once or twice, and you can see Bishop Sutton's a machine, man. He's always going, and I didn't know that side of Sister Sutton, and I showed up on a Thursday night, and me and him were talking about carnal stuff, and she was like, yeah, but what about this Bible study or that or this? And I told my wife on the way home, I said, I think she's more addicted to it than he is. So we salute you today, Sister Sutton, and all the mothers of this church. Amen. 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 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 18. Believe me, I recognize that I am the only thing right now that's standing between you and lunch with Mama. I get it, and I'm not going to be long, I promise, but I do want to preach what the Lord laid on my heart, and I want to deliver to you what the Lord just put in my spirit to expound on for a few moments today, and I believe that we can get through this and the Holy Ghost can move. You're going to be able to go eat and hang out with Mama for the rest of the day. So would you just give me 20 minutes? Would you give me 20 minutes? I promise I can get it done in 20 minutes. Would you give me 20 minutes? All right. There's a couple of you that are with me. The rest of you are just kind of looking around. Amen. Y'all don't believe I can do it in 20 minutes, do you? I'm going to prove you're wrong. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. In verse 18, 2 Kings 4 and 18, the Bible says, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. The Bible says, and she went up and laid him on the bed, the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. Came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, it is well with thee, it is well with thy husband, it is well with the child. And she answered, it is well. And she came to the man of God to the hill, and she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. On this Mother's Day in 2021, I want to preach something very simple to you today. It's already been alluded to a few times, but I want to preach very simply, nobody can love you like mama. Nobody can love you like mama. Would you help me today by lifting your hands and your voice to heaven and ask the Lord to move in this place? God, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. Give you thanks. There's nobody like you in heaven or on earth. Oh, come on. Somebody help me pray right now. Jesus, we believe you for the miraculous in this house. It's our prayer. It's our request that you would move. It's our request today, God, that you would fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, there's a visitor here today that has questions. There's a church member here today that has questions that they can't answer on their own. And I'm asking you, Lord, to move and answer those questions. Move today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more time. Why don't you just lift your voice and tell him how much you love him. How thankful you are to know him in the fullness of his power. And if you got the Holy Ghost today, you ought to just lift up a shout of praise right now. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. We began reading the scripture text realizing there is indeed a tragedy, and this woman is reacting as any mother would, out of protection and desperation. But to put all this in context, we have to first understand where this young lady is coming from. We have to understand that she was barren. The Bible says that she was barren. And Elisha, the man of God, has passed by her home because she perceived him as a holy man of God. I wish I had time to preach about that, but I don't. She never asked the man of God for anything, just wanted to be a blessing to the man of God. But Gehazi, the assistant to the prophet, takes notice that she has no child, and she tells the man of God, and so he speaks a prophecy over her life of what shall come to pass. She doesn't believe him. She says, don't lie to me, preacher. How many ever felt like that? That's too good to be true. Oh, I guess I'm the only one. Oh, there's no way that can happen. Don't lie to me, preacher. But as sure as the man of God had spoken, she conceived a son, and the boy begins to grow, and she teaches him, and she nurtures him, and the day becomes that he is a young man, and he goes out to be with his father in the fields. There is a transition happening in his life where he is trying to figure out who he is and how to be a man. No doubt he knew a great deal about what to do and what not to do in the field. It is the way with every young man that grows up with a true father that he knows what his father's trade is. And I can guarantee you that there every young man in here today. I grew up in a mechanic's home. My dad was a very good mechanic as well as a preacher. And so there's a lot of that I attribute to my father. No doubt. This young man knew what to do. He knew what wrenches to use and what a screwdriver went where, and so on and so forth. And like every young man, he wanted to do his job well. And commentators have various ideas of what happened, but the heart of the matter is this young man had an injury that stopped him from what he was doing, and to cry, "Oh, my head, my head." Let me pause from this story for just a moment and remind you that there is nothing in the world like a mother's love. If you will allow me to preach typology today, and just, I'm not going to preach a three-point sermon. I'm just going to drive one point home, if that would be okay. I would tell you today that this woman who cared for the well-being of the man of God is a type of the church. Again, it's already been alluded to today that the church, the mother, the one that takes care of her children. And this young man, we understand, is like the children that are coming in to the house of God. This young man's mistake is not that he was a bad kid, but that he let his aspirations get him away from mama's house. We know undoubtedly that this woman was a woman that worshiped God, but understanding at this point in time, Israel has experienced a great falling away. Ahab has brought false gods to worship into the land. And some commentators would argue that this woman's husband is a Baal worshiper, as it is very common in this day and time that you will have a worshiper of Baal and a worshiper of Jehovah in the very same household. And now, while out from under the protection of his mother, this boy is injured. Again, quite probably he is in a field surrounded by people that worship false gods. He is in a place where no one can touch God for him. He is in a place that when the injury happens, there is no one to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And so we see his father, all he can respond, he speaks to a lad and says, "Take him to his mother." And now I'm here to preach to somebody here today that feels as if you are the young man that's been damaged by the world. You are the young person. You are that child that has been damaged by the world. Can I preach to you on this Mother's Day that can't nobody love you like mama can? There'll be a lot of people that will be your friend, but nobody's going to love you like the church is going to love you. There'll be a lot of people that'll shake your hand and try to get close to you, but nobody is going to care for you like the church is going to care for you. Nobody's going to wipe away the tears like the church is going to wipe away the tears. Nobody's going to heal your broken wound, your broken wounded soul like the church can heal your broken wounded soul. You see, daddy had the understanding that I can't do anything with them. Just take them to mama. It's intriguing to me when people get hurt and people are broken, the first place they run is back to mama. I'm going to tell you today that you need to get that revelation in your spirit now before you get broken, that you can get out in the world and the world's not going to be able to help you. The world can't change you. The world can't fix it. The world can't put you back together again. But can I tell you, if you walk to church on a Sunday morning and you lift up your hands, when you get to an altar, there's nobody gonna love you like mama's gonna love you. There's nobody gonna take you in their arms. And although you made a mistake, although you fell away, there's nobody that can pick you back up and put you back together again like the church. Hallelujah. I'm here to preach to somebody right now who left mama. I'm here to preach to a backslider. Can I preach to you for about 3 minutes? I'm running out of time. Can I preach to you and tell you that you left here and you got out from under the protecting hand of your mama and you got damaged, but you're back on a Sunday morning, whether you're listening or you're sitting on the pew. And can I tell you that we're praying for you, that mama's been thinking about you, that while everybody else has walked by you in your drunken stupor on a bar stool, spiritual while everybody else has looked at you as you were addicted to your drugs. Mama never stopped thinking about you. Mama never stopped praying for you. Mama never stopped caring about where you are. I'm here to preach to a broken soul today and tell you the church still cares. The church is so worried about where you are. We want you to come home. We want to see you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can remember as a young child this same thing playing out in my own life. My dad's a man's man, if you can't figure that out being around him very quick. And I was raised in that kind of home, and so that's kind of, sorry, it's just who I am. And so if you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to like me. I might not like you either, but bless God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. But I was raised in a home with a strong man, but I was also raised in a home with a loving mother. And I can remember at a very young age, my dad started teaching me, you know, how to work on cars and fix stuff and just, you know, country boy stuff. And so from can to can, I like that. That's what I'm talking about. And I remember one day that I was working with my daddy, and he had a 19, if I remember correctly, it was a 1974 Ford F-100, and it had a 3-speed transmission in it, and it was sage grass tan, and he killed more deer with that than I think he killed with a gun. I don't know if the deer thought it was a moving field or what it was, but they were just attracted to it. I can take you, it's actually sitting in a junkyard in Meridian, Mississippi right now. I can take you there and show it's beat all to pieces, and it looks exactly how it did when they backed it in the junkyard. Anyways, so I can remember my daddy had a cup sitting there, and he was trying to get the carburetor right and adjust and all this stuff. And I walked up being a little 4-year-old boy and wanting to help and grabbed a cup of gasoline and dumped it all over me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I drank it. It got in my eyes, got in my nose, it got everywhere. And I remember looking at Daddy, and Daddy said, "I don't know what to do. Go see your mama." I'm going to tell you, that's where this world is at. They think they know what to do, but when tragedy strikes, look at where they go. When gasoline starts getting poured down your mouth and your nose and all in your eyeball, you know where they're going? They're going to the church. You want to know why? Because they understand that this world is chaotic and messed up and twisted and broken. And what it needs is a loving, nurturing being that'll take them in and love them. That's why we as the house of the Lord, as the body of Christ, we got to be careful, because you never know when you're going to be just one little piece of mama's love shown to a broken world. You never know when somebody's going to walk by you hurting and addicted and say, "That's where I need to be, is in the house of the Lord." Hallelujah. You can, can I finish this today? I'm trying to get it done as quickly as I can. But you came to God and you got it all together, but all of a sudden things started falling apart, and you were like Naomi. You walked out full of joy, and like Naomi, you had it all together, but now you're back and you're Mara because you're bitter, and you left whole, but your relationships are damaged, and you left a tree, but now you've come back just a stump, and you left free from all bondage, but now you're bound and addicted. And I know you dressed up nice and you came to church on Sunday of Mother's Day because you wanted to make mama happy, but I'm here to preach to you for just another few minutes. I know you came in here and you're just here not because you want to be here. Let's get rid of all of the masquerade today. And maybe you're not here because you're trying to get a relationship with God, but just cause you're here to make mama happy. But I got you in the hot seat now, so you're just going to have to deal with it for a minute. But deep down inside, let me tell you that there is a pain that says, "Where did I go wrong?" Deep down inside, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that young man was grabbing his head and saying, "Oh, my head." I'm preaching to somebody right now that's where you've been. You've had your head in your hands and you've been asking the question, "Where did I go wrong? What mistake got me to to where I am. I used to be alive. I used to be sure. I used to be in the truth, but now I'm so far away from God. Can I tell you today that there's nobody that's, I know you're broken and I know you've messed up and you think that nobody can love you like you are, but let me tell you, nobody can love you like mama, because it don't matter how messed up you are and it don't matter how far you've gone, mama's still gonna love you. I told you I didn't have a three-point sermon today, and I'm breaking all protocol by doing this. I don't understand what good preaching's supposed to be, but I've got a burden on my heart for somebody today that just happened to be listening online or just happened to be here because this is where your mama goes. I'm going to tell you what mama did. Mama dragged that dead boy across her lap. I don't know what was going on in her mind, but one thing I do know is she had a relationship with God enough to find the man of God when the boy died on her lap. I know that without a shadow of a doubt that until noontime she had been praying and she had been asking the Lord, Lord, you gave him to me, don't take him now. Can I tell you today that God gave you to your mother? God gave you to the church. God birthed you in this thing, and because of mistakes that have drug you out, we're not going to give up on you. She called for the man, and she said, send me a lad and give me a beast of travel so that I might get to the man of God, because she understood that there's something about it when mama keeps on going back and believing again. There's something about, I know it seems cliche, but we never took your name off the prayer list. I know it sounds cliche, but we never stopped praying your name when we started talking about backsliders. I know it sounds like, well, that's just what they do, honey. It wasn't just what we do. We kept going to the man of God. We kept going to God and saying, Lord, would you restore? They're dead. They're twice dead and plucked up by the roots, and there's no way that they'll ever come back. They're so far in sin. But God, you're still the God that does impossible things. You're still the God that can raise them up again. Even when you're dead, nobody's gonna love you like mama. I think there's not a greater example than Rizpah, who the Bible says that her sons are dead and they are laid out, and she finds herself some type of cloth and she covers them. Oh, God, I wish I had time to preach all of this. And she finds herself some way, some form of beating back the beast that would tear the bodies apart until there's literally nothing left. She's there and she's believing God because she understands that God can still raise the dead. And you can go to the story and think what you will, and you can say, well, they were evil or they were good, or you can put your own analogy into it. But at the end of the day, there is nothing more powerful seen here than this mother that says, I refuse to give up on my children. Even though they're laid out and they're dead, I'm going to keep beating back the buzzards, and I'm going to keep the night animals away, because I don't want anything to stop. If God decides, I want to do everything that I can to create a conducive atmosphere that when God speaks and says, come back to life, that they can. I'm telling you, that's why we keep it. You want to know why the church is the same way you left it? Because we want a conducive atmosphere that no matter how dead you are, that when you come to church, you can still find hope and help, because mama's still loves you. And you can get mad at this preacher. It'll be all right. It won't be the first time I've been mad at. And you can talk about me and that'll be okay, but it won't be the first time I've ever been talked about. But let me just tell you something. You can put on a front and talk about how much you got it together. And I know I'm not preaching to everybody today. I get it, but I'm reaching. There's a mama's prayer being answered right now. I'm reaching with everything I got. I got 4 minutes left. I'm reaching with for the next 4 minutes. Can you just give me 4 more minutes? I'm reaching everything I got for somebody that walked in here today, and you really believe that you got it, and you really think that you got the pleasures of sin, and they're great, and I've got it all together. See ya. And you try to strut it and say, Pastor Sutton, I told you I'd be fine if I left. But the truth is you lay down every night and you're miserable. I know this is uncomfortable, but Pat Bishop Sutton, is this all right if I just preach what I feel today? You're miserable because you know that you're outside the reach of mama. And mama's crying and mama's praying. But one thing mama ain't ever going to do is mama ain't ever going to make you live for God. Mama ain't ever going to make you stay in her house. But she'll beg and she'll plead and she'll ask, would you come home? Would you come home? I know your marriage is on the rock, and I know I know the addiction's there. I know all of this is trying its best to drown you. But there's something that is found in this scripture text. Come help me. I'm done. I promise. That we see, and it's lost in translation, but you go and you read the original text and you translate it literally word by word, and the translator, because there's so much going from Hebrew to English, that there were some things that they had to paraphrase, or lest our Bible be so thick we couldn't carry it. And so you notice the way that the man of God tells Gehazi to ask about her. He said, ask about her husband, ask about her, and ask about the child. See, for proper cultural reasons of this day and hour, it wouldn't be. The Bible says that she just said, it is well. We preach about that. And she had faith to say, it's going to be okay. It's just humor me for a minute. There is different punctuation, though. When she says it, it's the word shalom, peace. It's like just saying, man, it's all good. And so she goes through this dialogue with Gehazi in the original text, and you can go and study it for yourself, where he would ask and say, how's your husband? And she would reply, shalom, it is well. How are you? Shalom, it is well. But when he asked how the child was, there's a different punctuation here. It's the same word, but it's said, I can't say it because I can't speak Hebrew, but when you understand the way the language works, there's a different sound, the guttural sound that comes out of the throat. It's a different sound. And it literally means, I think it's going to be okay. It's well. Everything's good. It's good. But for this, I think, why do you think it's going to be okay? Because I found the place where the promise was born. Can I tell you today that I think it's going to be all right? You want to know why? Because you're in the place where the promise was born. And the more time you spend away from the place that the promise was born, the more you're going to be sitting there with your head in your hands saying, oh, my head, my head. And the more you think about it, she's all right. The more you think about it, the more you pray about it, the more you just sit on the edge of your seat and say, well, maybe it'll get better. Nah, ain't gonna happen. Not until you get to the place of promise. Find in that same chapter, there's a woman. Stand with me if you will. My time's up. There's a woman. Bible says that her sons, her husband had died, and her sons were getting ready to be sold to the debtor. The Bible says that the man of God speaks to this mother and says, what do you have in your house? I ain't got nothing save a cruse of oil. He said, well, use that. Borrow vessels and borrow not a few. And the Bible tells us that as this woman began to pour, that the oil failed not. It just kept on coming. She kept pouring, and the oil kept pouring. She got another vessel, and eventually y'all see where I'm going with this? Every vessel in the house was filled. So I've preached to the young man that's here today, or the young lady that's got your hand in your head and you're saying, oh, my hands, oh, my head. you can't figure out how to make life, but can I preach to mama for 30 seconds? I tell you, let's go get some vessels, because we got a prophetic word that as long as mama keeps pouring, they're going to keep getting filled up. If you're here today and you need to know the Lord, as they would say in the big churches, as your personal Savior, well, I'm going to take you a little farther than most of them would take you, because most of them will tell you all you got to do is pray this little prayer. But I'm going to tell you, you need more than to pray a little prayer. You need to pray a big prayer. It's called a prayer of repentance. And it's not little, it's not insignificant, but this prayer is a big prayer, because it means I'm going to change the way that I'm living. I'm going to get out of the world, and I'm going to come back to mama's house, and I'm going to live in mama's house, and I'm going to stay under the protection of mama. And then guess what's going to happen? We're going to baptize you in Jesus' name, and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Come on, if you would, everyone that would you step out of your pew and walk to this altar? Come on. I'm preaching to a backslider. Would you come home? Would you come home? Would you come home? Come on home. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come back to mama's house. Would you lift your voice right now when you make your way to the altar? Would you just lift your hands and lift your voice and talk to the Lord? Woo. Come on, yeah. The Holy Ghost is here right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here. I'm not going to drag you. I'm not going to make you. But I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to beseech you. I'm going to beg you right now. Would you come on back to mama's house? Because nobody's going to love you like mama will. Come on, let's let our voice reach out to the Lord. Come on, sing it, sing it, sing it. Yeah, yeah. Nobody's going to love you like the church will. Do we have our faults? Absolutely. Have we made mistakes? Yes. Are we perfect? No. But one thing you will never be able to forget is that we love you in spite of what you've done or where you've gone. Come on, somebody reach over and grab the neighbor right beside you and pray with them and let the love of God be shown from you.